Hey everybody, welcome to the Shadows of the Moon podcast with a little bit of chaos. If you're looking for talk on the paranormal, cryptozoology, UFO community with some self-empowerment and tarot thrown in there, then you come to the right place. I'm your host, Shadows of the Moon, and sitting across from me, as always, is my hey everybody, welcome to the Shadows of the Moon podcast. So sit back, relax, and let's join in the conversation.
You're watching me, yeah, all eyes on me, 'cause I've been
in the clouds, dance in the crowds and laugh out loud.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Sorry about that whole freaking hole. That just scared the shit out of me. What is going on, everybody? Hello, Eli, Nicole, Andy, Heather, and Ron! That's no problem, Eli. Tell him we love him. We miss him. Damn it. Again, Mr. N is not here yet. He is not. How are you today? What's going on? I was trying to look. My Eddie brought home one of my favorite breakfast foods. Excuse me. I was trying to cram it down as much as I could. They only come to the store once in a while, so when you see them, you can grab them up quickly. You're the best around. So they only, my mic sounds wonky. Why are you sounding wonky? Got the right setting. Hold on a minute, guys. Okay, and that's going the wrong way. Okay, that sound better? Does that sound better? Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Breaker 1, 9 for radio check. No? What the hell is going on? My studies still going to fix up? No, my ear, it's my ear. I don't know what's going on. Is that better? Hey, Patrick. Hey, Christina. Okay, is that better at all? A bit better? I don't know. Okay, we'll do this. We'll go down. Maybe I got it on the up. Test. That's number two. Number two. Number one. Number one. Number three. Number three. Hey, Sammy. Number four. Number four. Which one sounds better? Did any of them sound better?
Hold on, guys. We're having a little bit of technical issue. All the same. Well, what the hell? Damn it all. Well, they shouldn't be. I wonder if I might have to read it. The hell? Yeah, give it a kick. Nicole, you know what happens when that happens? I give something a kick, and it I will try. Which do I like?
Is that better? We'll get it. We'll get it. Oh, now you hardly hear me. See, that's why. Is that one better? Awesome. Awesome sauce. See, we'll get it. Took us a minute. Awesome. So apparently I can't put my mic on my Yeti. I have to put it on my default, which is my Yeti. See, when it comes to... Thank you guys for the help. Seriously. I appreciate it. You know me. When it comes to the video stuff, I can do all that. But audio, I have no freaking clue. So I just start hitting buttons. So remind me, if it ever goes wonky like that again, say get it off your freaking Yeti settings and put it on your default. So how you guys doing today? Hey, Cassie, did I miss anybody coming in while I was trying to figure out? Hopefully I didn't. Trying to figure out my technical issues. Yeah, I don't know about that, Nicole. I know some people would probably disagree with you. Here comes that Eddie. I heard him.
I hear him.
We had some technical difficulties. I don't know how, never on this show. You are here.
It's a figment of your old imagination.
Oh, and he's wearing his mask. He is COVID conscious, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. There. Oh, no, your markers aren't there.
Nope.
I don't know.
I don't either.
So.
Go ahead. Keep talking. Give me a minute.
Okay. We're going to give Eddie a minute.
I got to pull my drawers up.
Had the staff at the old folks' home brought Eddie back at last? Yes.
Yeah, no, they didn't bring me back. They paid for a cab to get me out of there.
Yes, there's a masked man in my room.
Yes. Yes, I am.
He's over there going like this. Yes. You're the best around. Heather said, TMI, Eddie.
What, that I'm the best around?
No, that you were pulling up your drawers.
Oh, I could have been pulling them down. Now that's TMI.
Oh, what the fart?
Right? Oh, you guys are something else, I tell you.
Gotta give the boy points.
No, we ain't gotta give the boy points.
I will take all of them.
Right, Heather? Both are TMI, right?
Don't be jelly. Look, they paying now.
And Heather, too.
See?
Thank you, Heather,
for the love. She ain't sending them lemons fast enough.
I tell ya.
All right.
You guys are crazy. That's all I can say.
It's fucking hot here.
I don't know what he's doing over there. So how are you guys? Heather's like, not paying, Eddie, not paying.
Sound like a cash register to me. Keep depositing.
Oh, our Wi-Fi is like way low. I don't know about you on your end when you come on, but.
Mine's full. Where the hell am I?
Andy said, Eddie, just change your incognito pad and get on with it, mate. For fuck's sake.
My fucking depends, man. Leave me alone.
That shit's funny. But yeah, today on today's show, we're talking about winged cryptids. Love it. Love it.
Great. We're talking about Kotex.
No, shut up. Oh my God.
Hey, you're the one that said wings.
Oh my God, help me.
I'm almost there.
Help me, people. No, today we're going to talk about a variety for we're going to go first down a list of cryptid, winged cryptid. I almost said winged cryptid people. You never know. Some of them are humanoid. And then we'll get into some viewer stories. There he is. There he is, folks.
And there I go.
What the hell was that?
Now, why the hell is your big box hiding all my fucking chat?
What?
Your thumbnail.
I don't know. The hell do you want me?
What?
The hell do you want me to do?
Fix it?
I Lord.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, damn it. Is that better?
Well, yeah, I didn't mean to take it away. Where the fuck is my heart medication?
Out by the TV. This guy, he's never ready.
I'm never ready.
No, he's never ready. My God. Now I hear myself because he's got his headphones off. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Holy hell. Thank God it's Thursday. So yeah, we'll be talking about different flying cryptids and people's encounters with them, and holy hell.
Oh, I believe it, Andy.
Yeah, okay. Hey, I'm Earth Aliens. How you doing on?
What's up, aliens?
What's
Patrick,
up?
Heather, Nicole, Andy, Cassie.
Sammy.
Christina.
Eli.
Is he here?
Yes. Eli and Ron's in the background with Eli.
Hey, Eli. Hey, Ron.
When you did that, all I can think of is, hey, you guys.
Wow.
That's all I can think of. Anyway.
Hold on.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
You're an asshole. So some of the unexplained unexplained incidents from experiencers contain cryptid birds, pterodactyls in Maryland, Texas, and California. A Florida witness observes a large group of flying dragons that is eventually gathered aboard a craft. Weird, right?
In aircraft carrier?
No, like a UFO.
Oh.
A red-eyed winged humanoid observed near Bradenton, Florida.
Bradenton or Bradenton?
Bradenton. Bradndon.
Okay.
Brandon? I don't know.
I'm Marissa.
Large winged cryptids in Kansas, Florida, Wisconsin, and Connecticut, and a huge translucent manta ray shaped entity.
What the fart?
Right? Observed over Burnside, Kentucky. As always, if you're listening to the podcast portion of this, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. We invite you, of course, to come over to the live and jump in the conversation. Right?
Right.
Right.
No idea what the hell she said.
Hey, Marissa. That's,
Marissa.
No. Well, it is. But she's on Facebook. What the hell's your name on YouTube? You haven't showed up in YouTube so long, I don't even know your freaking name anymore. She knows who she is. Damn
Marissa.
It.
I gotta turn my notifications off.
Okay, you do that.
Well, I don't want them to think Avon's calling.
Avon is always calling.
Okay.
You ready?
I've been born ready.
All right, guys. Here we go. So our first cryptid that we are going to talk about, right, is, you know, in some cryptid cases, more mundane things are usually explained with the counters. For example, some believe that the sighting of the cryptid known as the Chupacabra is nothing more than a dog with mange, right? Another example is a belief of one ornithologist that the famous cryptid known as Mothman is actually a possible mutated sandhill crane.
So Marissa is Skooks?
Yeah, Skooks. That's it. Jesus. Yes.
Okay.
In recent years, there's been a lot of buzz around the cryptid world of the return of the previous mentioned Mothman. Only this time, he's been not in West Virginia, but up close in Illinois. Actually, in the Chicago area. There have been various reports on what now they call the Chicago Mothman since its peak of popularity began in 2017. One paranormal researcher has even penned a book on the phenomenon as more and more sightings pop up from the area. With the Chicago Mothman sighting being a hot topic in a cryptid world, I thought we would talk about our favorite flying cryptids. From gigantic birds to strange flying men, these cryptids are flying beasts from around the world. So the first one we got up is the Bassan. Or the Bassa Bassa. Okay. This guy.
That almost looks like a phoenix.
It kind of does, doesn't it? So this guy is the cryptid. It's sometimes called the fire rooster. It's essentially a giant fire-breathing chicken from Japanese folklore. It is said that when the wings of the large bird flap, it would make kind of a similar sound to bassa bassa.
To what?
Bassa bassa. Bassa bassa. Which is believed the origins of the name of the strange beast. The fire that comes from the mouth of the bassan is said to be a ghost fire, that it feels cold and does not burn those around. Now, the bassan lives in the bamboo forests of the Ipio province, modern-day Anhang prefecture, but would disappear whenever anyone heard the sound of its wings and went outside to investigate.
Now, I got a question.
Okay.
Is it really wise for him to live in a bamboo forest if he breathes fire?
But it's a ghost fire. It's not hot. It don't burn.
Well, then what the hell good is it?
Maybe it's because it's from the another realm? I don't know. Hey, freaky geek. Big old pheasant with fiery bad breath. There you go.
It looks like he got his head stuck in a piece of cauliflower.
Nice. Andy said, why is that bird got cauliflower on his head? See, you can tell, God, that's how much they think alike, guys. That's what's scary. That's what's scary. So, yeah, that's the first one. That's the bossa bossa.
Bossa bossa.
Freaky says, trying to upload a video is not very easy after 2 years of it doing it. Yeah, I know. Trying to get, yeah. Believe me. So the second one, let me see if I got the right picture up. Yes. Is the Owl Man. That is the Owl Man. Now this guy, he's a cryptid, obviously quite similar to the Mothman. The Owl Man is half man, half bird that resides in Cornwall, England. And according to the legends of the avian humanoid, it was first spotted by two young girls by St. Joseph's Church in Manawan in 1976. Reports claim that the creature looked like an owl but was the size of a man. It's said to have glowing eyes and large black pincer-like claws. Other reports, not seeing the creature, but rather hearing a loud owl sound. Some believe that the creature can be explained simply by the fact that owls often enjoy roosting in church towers, and the beast the girls witnessed was nothing more than a normal-sized owl. There she is on YouTube now. So half bird, half man, correct. Cornwall, where men are men and sheep run around scared. And Nicole says, looks like my Andy in the morning before his coffee. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he definitely... And he looks like an owl. It's got owl. I mean, obviously, this is an artist prediction or, you know.
Drawing?
Yeah, that. But he looks like he has owl legs with the, you know, when they pull the feathers up from an owl.
Why does he look bow-legged?
Does he look bow-legged to you?
Kind of.
He looks like he's got a great set of legs on him, though.
Wow.
He does. What can I say? But yeah, I mean, I'd be freaked out if...
You already said it.
I'd be freaked out if I saw that.
That ain't as scary as the owl that scared the shit out of me.
Well, yeah, that was true. And he got scared by...
He has born owl.
Yeah. I've never seen anybody jump and duck at the same time, but Eddie did.
I still cleared that mud puddle.
And it was funniest thing I could... Oh, my God.
Only because she spotted that owl like...
Two seconds before.
And the only reason why I seen it is when he opened his damn wings.
Yeah.
The goddamn thing had a wingspan of like friggin' 6 feet.
Oh my God, Andy. In 1298, the Welsh invented the condom using sheep's lower intestine. In 1300, the English improved on the idea by removing it from the sheep first. Know some women who have that kind of chest, too. I do.
What, old feathery?
No, not feathery. But flat. Oh, you guys are funny. You guys are too funny. Okay, so the next one on our list is not that one. It's not that one. It's that one.
That looks like a giant raven.
Do you know what it is?
It's a bird.
Well, yes, it's a bird.
It's a dead bird.
Obviously. This is what's known as the Thunderbird. Although it's not really the Thunderbird. The Thunderbird in lore of... Oh, yeah. I was like, I thought he said, because he's Freaky Geek said, looking at the tail, it's a giant crow, not a raven. And I'm like, I read that as looking at its tail, it's a giant cow, not a raven. I'm wow. Like, what? It shot me off balance for a minute there.
Off balance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. To me, what I've heard about Native American legend anyway is that basically, when they seen Thunderbirds, like the feathers were different colors. I know, freaky geek, you are.
I had to reread that twice.
But yeah, they were different colors. Kind of like a, I guess, not, I don't want to say parrot because it was more broken up than that. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, the Thunderbolt.
I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about.
Like the different color, the feathers were different colors.
Oh, so it was a colorful
Thunderbolt. Right, yeah. It was a colorful bird, but it wasn't like a parrot. Like the colors were more broke up, more patchier.
Okay, so it was splotched.
Yeah. But anyway.
Look at what Bricky
said. Thanks, Eddie. Now the post seems naughty.
Well, he said he was rubbing off on you. He was rubbing something.
Okay, so the Thunderbird is a creature of Native American legends, and the story of the Thunderbird varies from one tribe to the next. But the idea that many cryptid researchers seem to identify the animal with is that it's a watchman of the upper world and Earth. The Thunderbird is often thought to be a guardian of a particular area. One of the most first and most popular sightings of the Thunderbird came in the early 1890s when two ranchers reported to have shot and killed a giant winged monster. The story was so popular that it made its way to the Tombstone Epitaph newspaper. And according to the report, the creature had a smooth, hairless body, sharp, pointy teeth, massive, thick, but nearly transparent leathery wings, and an elongated, pointy tail. See, I wouldn't think of that as a Thunderbird. I would think of that as a pterodactyl. But anyway, some have...
No, because a pterodactyl wouldn't have jagged edges like that as feathers. Because if you think about a pterodactyl, it was like a webbed wing.
Right, that's why it said a massive, thick, but nearly transparent, leathery wing.
Was on this thing?
Was no, not on the bird that I'm showing.
Oh, okay.
But on what the explanation was of what their sighting was. And it says right here, some have said that this explanation leads more to a prehistoric pterodactyl than a bird. That's what I thought they were talking about was a pterodactyl. Some believe that the Thunderbird could be a different kind of dinosaur left over. As the Argumentus, what this picture is. However, argumented fossils from the late Monocene have thus far been only found in sites of Argentina, which of course is quite far from the western United States. Welcome back, Nicole.
Absolutely. Welcome back, Nicole.
So the next one on our list, not that one, is that one. This one is the Van Meter Visitor. Now that looks like a pterodactyl as well, to me, right?
That looks closer to a dactyrodactyl.
A dactyrodactyl?
The other one. Well, you know, it's a fucking Missyism bullshit.
According to the legend, this monster came to visit the town of Van Meter, Iowa, in October of 1903. Many reports were made of this sighting of the creature that was described as half man and half animal with large bat-like wings, fire beams that shot from his forehead, and a particularly foul aroma that followed it and stalked the town for nearly a week. Many respected members of the town of Van Meter report having run-ins with this monster. In fact, many claim to have tried shooting the beast, but reports said that the bullets just bounced right off of it. Finally...
Is he shooting a laser, or is that supposed to be a bullet bouncing off his head?
That's a good point, but I believe that's the laser coming out. Not laser, but fire. It's supposed to be fire coming out.
Yeah, that looks like a friggin' laser.
But it could be a depiction of the bullet bouncing off. That's a good eye. Good eye.
He might have a bad eye. I don't know. Internet is, we're lagging. We're out. Streams have connection issues. Yep, my YouTube's down.
It's still saying we're live.
All right. Well, you just give me the. Yeah, no, you're. I just now heard you say that you're live. Head circle is death on YouTube.
Are we here?
I don't know. Looks like the creature in the movie Riddick. You're live on D-Live. Apart from its lack of protruding sharp wet teeth, it looks kind of like my ex-mother-in-law.
Same flat, heartless chest, too. Needs silver bullets to shoot her down. Nicole's like, no, I'm here. Okay, you got you. All right, as long as you guys hear us. You're not here, Missy. You're there. Okay. So, finally, having enough of the men in the town chased by the creature to an abandoned coal mine, they were met with a second one of these beasts. Can you imagine chasing after something like that? And then another one comes out. Like, what the fuck? The men forced the creature back down to the coal mine where it reportedly disappeared.
Hey, you know what's fun? I'm hearing you in headphones.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about 4.5 seconds after you're over there talking.
That's weird. But can you imagine that, though?
Just to see one of them.
Right?
Especially something that looked like that.
Okay. Yeah, we're done with that one. All right. Is this still this guy?
That just looks like a fat bat.
Thank you for the ice creams, Nicole.
Thank you.
And the lemons.
Like Andy said, of course it's weird. It's your show.
Right, this is true. So, the next one is the Kansas City Winged Demon. I don't think that was it. No, that is the one. The Kansas City Winged Demon is a slightly smaller creature in comparison with the other beasts, such as the Thunderbird or the Van Meter Visitor. However, they may lack the size. What they lack in size makes up in mystery. According to the legend, the winged cryptid is reported menacing the town of Kansas City, Missouri. It is described as the size of a man with a nearly 12-foot wingspan. Similar to some Mothman reports, those who have a sighting of the Kansas City winged demon have found the encounter particularly disturbing. For one instance, a girl was so upset by the sighting that she reported to have passed out. She was that scared, yeah. It actually, but does it have like, maybe because it's just the tail ends coming down? But I it looked like it had like 4 different feet.
No, it's just how the knees are bent like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's got the talons. So it does make it look like it's got 2 on each one, but it's only 1.
Yeah. But it does have like an owl face. With the bat wings.
Yeah, it looks like a cross between, like Andy said, a cat and an owl.
Right.
And it looks like it's high. Look at his eyes. They ain't even open.
Yeah, they are. I can really see little pupils right there.
Yeah, well, you know, when you squint, yeah, I guess your eyes are open.
Now, Ben, they have in this list the Billited, right? But as much as the Billited is a very strange creature, and I'll pop up a picture here for you. I took it off the list because of the fact that I cannot find anything with it saying it had. Here they have wings. They're saying it has wings, but I don't
Well, Jonah's got wings. What picture are you looking at?
Not this one. I'm going to open up a new one.
Oh. Because I'm like, this thing has wings. Why isn't he saying it doesn't? Hurry back, Heather.
But I just wanted to give you a you know what I mean? Like, not an update, but...
That looks like a pissed off platypus.
Well, that's the thing about the Billidad is, the Billidad is a strange, I don't know, it's believed to live around the area of Northwest Maine, where it survived by stealing bugs from fish and foraging in the grasses around the local pond. According to local lumberjacks who consider the creature to be a delicacy, although possible poisonous, it has the tail of a beaver, the body of a rat, and the beak and wings of a small bird. But I cannot find anything even remotely close to them talking about wings. Even in, like, I went back to old stories of the Billidad, because lumberjacks are the ones that usually spotted these. And I couldn't find anything about wings.
It doesn't look like it has wings.
Yeah. It says, although it has short and scraggly front legs, it's believed to have powerful kangaroo-like back legs that help propel it through the air in search of insects. I mean, that I can understand.
Maybe it's just got a lot of flap under the front arms when he propels himself. He's like a flying squirrel.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because flying squirrels don't have wings.
Right, exactly.
But they have that skin extension that they can...
Here's another picture of it, too.
They can expand out and let it, you know, glide on the air.
Right.
Doesn't look very big compared to that.
Yeah.
Damn thing looked like it'd take out your kneecap.
But I tried everywhere to find out a winged one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it don't look like it has wings to me at all. I think that's what it might be.
Yeah. So, all right. Next on our list is the Periton. The Periton is a creature that comes from medieval legend. It's said to be half deer and half bird. This is another one that I couldn't find. Well, I can, but I mean, it's not.
Well, sort of welcome back, Freaky.
Sort of welcome back. So, this is the Periton. So, I'm taking it as... And I'll show you another picture.
Oh, come on. That looks like a generic version of Pegasus.
Right, that's what I was thinking. Right? But then there's like these. Like, I wonder if it's seeing like a phoenix.
That's fucking Rudolph pissed off.
So, when it comes to the Periton, it's a creature that, like I said, comes from medieval legend. It's said to be half deer and half bird. Accounts of the creature vary between two main depictions. In one, the creature is akin to a centaur with a deer front half and bird-like wings and back half. In the other common depiction, it's resembled more of a Pegasus with the body of a deer and wings of a large bird. Some believe that the Periton cast a particular human-like shadow because they are spirits of sailors who died from far from home.
Welcome back, Heather.
Welcome back, Heather. According to the book Imaginary Beast, written by Georgi Borges in 1957, the Periton lived in the fabled city of Atlantis until the earthquake destroyed the lost city. Only the Periton were able to escape disaster, of course, by flying away. I'm trying to think of if I remember reading any, because I'm a big Atlantis fan. Is that Santa's reindeer? spirits of sailors become shithawks. I mean, seagulls. That's what Andy said. But no.
No, Andy typed it. You said it.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I don't think I can. I don't remember hearing anything about Parrington and Alanis. I mean, other than folklore. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I mean, a lot of these cryptids stories are a lot of folklore. I mean, people are trying to go by memory on what it looked like, and people are trying to draw it from what their description is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's hard. That's tough when you're trying to, especially if you're not an artist like me.
Now that looks like a pterodactyl.
That's a rope in. That's one of my favorites.
The only difference that I would see about that being a pterodactyl is the webbed feet.
Right.
And and it's not as big.
Right. Yeah. The ropin is a massive-like bird creature that has been reported in and around the island of Papua New Guinea. It's reported to be a featherless flying creature that emits a bright red light from its forehead. So it almost sounds like the other one, right?
Kind of.
So I wonder if they were seeing the same thing.
But this one looks more like an ancient dinosaur. It looks more like a pterodactyl than the other one did.
Hey, Simon. How you
What's
doing? Right. Yeah. Some have said that the light is used, or hypothesis, I guess, that the light is the red light coming from the forehead, unlike the other one that had fire coming from his forehead. This one assisted in finding foods in the water around the island. Which.
So it's a fish eater.
Right. Yeah. Many reports that the creature is nocturnal in nature, which also explains the red light often seen when it is nearby. The first sighting of the ropin was in 1935 when respected British entomologist and traveler Evelyn Cheeseman went to Papua New Guinea to investigate the strange flying lights of the island. Many later expeditions to the island believe that the ropin is a type of kind of pterodactyl or pterosaurus that lived in the island. Others believe it may simply be a large bat species that's the native to the land.
Hold on, you gotta say it the way Nicole said it. Where is it? Oh yeah, right there. Pterodactosaurus.
There you go. That's the new name for it.
I don't even know how I.
I don't know how you did that.
I got you there, Nicole.
Simon said Kentucky Fried Chicken Saurus. No, that's the first one. That was the rooster, the chicken.
Oh, yeah, the phoenix.
Yeah. Could they be seeing a ropin?
Possible. I would say... Possible, yes. Probably, slim to not.
Right.
I mean, you say they're living in... pissed already? It's the only way I can say that. but you say they're in New Guinea, right?
Yeah, Papua New Guinea, yeah.
Okay, what's the forest situation like there?
The forest?
Yeah.
I
mean, maybe they think they're seeing something and when it's flying through the trees, you know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe it's just a fucking parrot.
I don't know if I would say a parrot. I mean, that's a big bird. That's not...
Depending on the light, the way the light shining through trees, if it's flying through the trees, the shadow... And some parrots, they have long tails, so they can be mistaking, you know, a shadow coming off the table or the tail to make it look longer. You know what I mean?
Right.
So can this one kind of be debunked? Yeah.
Okay, it says, because I looked up Papua New Guinea's terrain, is largely it has a lot of mountains, and it's covered with tropical rainforest.
Mountainous?
Yes, thank you, mountainous.
And tropical rainforest. Okay, there you go. So, right there, it could be somebody's imagination thought they seen something like this.
Right.
And you're talking about the rainforest, which is full of parrots. And huge parrots. It could have been a toucan.
Right. I see what you're saying. Oh, I definitely see what you're saying.
I'm not saying that somebody didn't see it, but it would take a hell of a lot of convincing me that thing's real.
Right. Andy brought up a good point, too. A lizard, a frog attacking a pigeon, the shadow hides the details. And that's true. It does.
I mean, I'm not here to discredit anybody, but I'm here for my own sanity of the fact of it's going to take more than a picture to prove to me that thing's real.
Well, these are just pictures. They're not. I mean, obviously, you can see the strings.
Didn't mean by that picture. It's going to take more than pictures, though.
Right.
To prove to me that thing's real. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I know that one's on display. Yeah, you can see where it's hanging. I get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if somebody just come up to me and said, oh, my God, I've seen, you know, this huge bird. Okay, well, you're in a rainforest where there's water falling all the time. The sun comes down through the trees. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And, Simon, that's a good question. Could it be kind of a glider? Yeah, you don't even, I mean, you think about it, even like a sugar glider, right? Or a flying squirrel. If you saw that shadow, you would think it would have wings, right?
Right.
Because it opens up its skin flaps.
And here's, I see the claws now. I didn't see the front legs at first.
Oh, yeah.
You really got to look close to see it.
Right here and here.
Yeah, and we're agreeing with that it, you know, it's a rendition because you can see where the strings, it's where it's hanging from the ceiling and that. Like Eddie's armpits, that he's getting waxed. Oh, I did find the a waxing kit. It is not a photo. That's a fact. Why? Okay, we covered that. It's not a photo. I understand that. But it what I was trying to explain is if you had a photo of something like that, you really, really are going to have to do your best to convince me that fucking thing's real.
Right. Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. What about this person?
No, that you cannot sell me on that. Why is there a cat above her head?
No, that's a flower.
Oh, it looked like a cat.
I know. It kind of did, didn't it?
But no, you are not going to. You know what? It'd be a cold, cold, cold day in hell before you can convince me that that's real.
So this is the gummy yum. Somewhat similar to the Kotengu of Japan, the Garryun is a winged bird-like creature with the head of a beautiful woman that is said to live in Russia. The Gemayun is believed to be a holder of great wisdom who lives in a recluse on a small island. It's also believed that this creature is prophetic in nature. It said that the beautiful Gumayun knows everything there is to know about all of creation.
So you're saying she's like a guru?
Right.
Or it is. Are they all female or are they males too? Or is it just...
It just said that it has the head of a beautiful woman.
Okay, so then I'm taking it that they're all females. Either that or that's the only one. And if that's the only one, then they're no longer in existence because she'd be dead by now.
Right, yeah. It does. Heather says looks kind of like a black-winged angel. But yeah, another, you know.
No, I wouldn't even compare that to a siren.
No, these are all like Slavic folklore. Well, not all these, but I mean this creature. You know what I mean? Here's another picture of two of them together.
Looks like Greek herpes. What? Oh, harpy.
Harpy?
See, they're women.
Yeah.
How do they reproduce?
If they're beings, they don't need to reproduce.
So they just fucking magically fucking show up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Angels do, don't they? They don't reproduce.
Every time somebody dies, an angel reproduces.
I mean, archangels. Let's put it that way. Eddie, you got harpies? Just cold sores.
Neither one.
So, yeah. All right, let me get rid of this guy. Look at this thing. How'd you like to come up across that thing?
I think I've seen something like that in the Florida waters.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Screw that shit.
You never seen a flying fish?
These are space penguins of Tuscacambia.
That doesn't even look anything close to a penguin. And penguins can't fly.
Well,
shit, they can barely walk.
Well, technically, this creature is more extraterrestrial than cryptid. There's such a unique sighting, though, that, you know, you had to add them to the list. The event that led to the Tuscumbia space penguin sighting occurred in the morning of Valentine's Day in 1967 in Missouri, when farmer Claude Edwards spotted what he believed to be a UFO sitting in one of his fields, and several small penguin-like creatures busying themselves beneath it. The creature is described about 3 feet in height. Three feet in height with a dingy green coloring. Edwards stated that the penguins appear to be wearing goggles or to have large black eyes and a dark black beak. Well, what the hell is that?
I don't know. Well, Nicole's right. It looks like a turtle's head. Almost like a snapping fucking turtle. Maybe not quite a snapping turtle.
Yeah, it does. Okay, here's a better rendition of this. Hold on.
Looks like the same one to me.
Shut up.
Wow. What the fuck is that?
That's the spaceship that he said landed, what the spaceship looked like, and that's what these things look like for reals.
With toilet paper arms.
Only you would fucking...
It looks like they got fucking so much excessive skin running down their body, it almost covers their...
Oh, God.
But look at their fucking... It looks like fucking... What the fuck? Seriously? Andy, hide your drugs better, okay? Grace played with toilet paper. See? I wasn't the only one thinking it. They look like they got fucking gas masks on over garbage bags way too tight.
I bet.
Holy crap. Dunkler, what the hell is that now? Oh, that's, who's the one that trained the Ninja Turtles?
Splinter?
Yeah. There you go. That's him. He just lost his tail, that's all.
You booger people during COVID. Oh my God.
I mean, see, that had to have been submitted by like a 5-year-old. Look, it's background in watercolor.
Stop. So yeah, that's what they're supposed to be, what he can describe. I mean, he don't know, you know, he said that they appeared like they were wearing like hazmat suits with boots, and their arms looked like the wings of a penguin. That's why he called them penguin people. He picked up a few rocks to throw at the ship, but as he got about 15 feet from the ship, he could tell it was protected by some sort of force field. And after about 5 minutes, the aliens went back into their ship and took off.
Why'd that thing look exactly like a mushroom, though?
Well, it's hard-drawn spaceships.
Just don't draw a mushroom.
Just don't draw a mushroom.
I mean, I understand. Wait, see?
Oh, sorry. I clicked out of it.
You did. Like I said, I'm not trying to discredit people from saying they've seen what they think they've seen. You know what I mean?
Right.
But these drawings do absolutely no justice. If you're going to expect me to believe that you thought you saw a flying penguin and it's got arms from toilet paper and it's got skin that goes all the way down over its feet, how the hell does this thing fly? Please explain that to me.
In the UFO, there were more
Oh, more, they don't fly.
Right. They flew in the air.
Got you now. All right. Okay. They, all right. Well, I mean, all you said was they fly. So what do you think I'm going to think? You winged penguins and they fly. What are you thinking at that point?
Right. No, I get what you're saying. Yes. Okay. All right. All right. Holy hell. Hey, I'm timing this pretty good. This is the second day in a row that I've gotten to 11 o'clock. And now we go into our stories. I'm doing good. Maybe at one point I'll actually be able to open up the phone lines again.
Maybe I should start coming in late every day.
Maybe. Eddie, they making a fly by kites out of toilet paper.
As soon as I seen that picture, that's all I seen was fucking toilet paper worms.
Yeah, there you go. I was frozen? Why has it got to be me?
Dude, you are frozen. Oh, there you go. Oh, crap.
I know, it's...
She's back.
I'm back.
I mean, your voice has been there the whole time.
Right.
The camera froze, and the camera's froze again.
Now, what are you going to do?
There it goes. Oh, well, no. There you go.
And
looks like Meghan Markle. Unfortunately, she even looks better than that.
I thought penguins were chocolate-covered cookies for Fluky, even.
You thought they were what?
Chocolate-covered cookies.
For Fluky. And you know Fluky woke up. Your woman's voice is always there. Yeah, I know.
I was only reading what Andy wrote. You can't blame me. She's double swearing at us in all sorts of languages.
Seven different languages, she'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. See, even Heather said, cookie time, Fluky. Nicole's going to be mad at all of us. So, are you ready for some stories? Eddie in Virginia.
Never been there.
Wrote this one.
I think I have. Because I had to go Norfolk. I had to go to the shipyard there and fucking do guard duty on the fucking Navy vessels.
Celebration time! Chocolate moon cake time!
Freaky.
So in Baltimore, Maryland, 13 years ago, right? Full moon, 10:30 at night, sitting out back on the steps of a townhouse watching the sky. Next thing you know, I see something go behind me over the townhouse.
Who's getting messages? I hear the beer bottle cap popping.
Thank you, Patrick, for the ice creams.
Thank you, Patrick.
That's me.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I didn't realize you'd hear it.
I got my headphones
on. So, Baltimore, Maryland, 13 years ago, full moon, 10:30 at night, sitting out back on the step of a townhouse watching the sky. Next thing you know, I see something go over me, over the townhouse, 4 foot wings on each side, like leather, 6 foot body, small head. I think maybe the way you said a pterodactyl might have described it as real well.
Okay, here's a question I have. How slow is this thing flying if he was able to describe the length, the wing width?
Can I finish the story?
Okay.
Going straight up, no flapping, looped, and then his head went to the west and I was on the left. And I got up and followed this thing through the yard. It was like 30 seconds, and I could see it. It was like brownish color. And I was praying, please do not look at me. I could just feel that. Don't look at me. But this was 13 years ago. I get goosebumps just listening to this. When you guys are talking about it, I never ever thought I would talk about it again. I've told people about it. I even told my boss the next day and all the guys, and they said, oh, it's a bird. This was no bird. It's exactly what you're about. Another one says, I was driving with my boss and I looked up. What I saw couldn't have been a bird. The upper body was bigger, but when we got to the tail was not of a bird. It was long and slender. And the tip of the tail, it was like diamond shape. I nearly wrecked into a trash can. No joke. I saw it this morning around 9:35 a.m. in Austin, Texas on February 27th, 2020, driving down Westgate Lane.
Simon, to be truthfully honest, the North Pole here, where we can go to in the North Pole, no. You will not see penguins.
You have to go, to Antarctica, ain't they?
Yep. They're much further north than where we're at.
South, honey.
South, yeah. But, yeah, no, that's all a myth about penguins up here at the North Pole and that. They're not.
They're down in Antarctica. We got polar bears, though.
That we do have.
But that's more up north.
Yeah. Up closer to the uninhabited places of Alaska.
Yeah. Another one says, my niece saw a pterodactyl as well 7 years ago in 2013 in San Gabriel Valley in Southern California. She was leaving for work at 4 a.m. getting into her car. She said it came down from a large tree, made a lot of noise, tumbling off the tree that was it was too big for. Although, like I said, it was a huge maple tree. She said the tree was too small to hold this thing up, so it landed on the street right next to her car. She ran inside. She could barely speak and was shaken. I believe her because if you know her like I do, she's a very serious, responsible person. I mean, that's crazy. I can't imagine just going. Can you imagine going outside to have a cigarette and just sitting there having your cigarette?
See a pterodactyl flow.
Oh, my God. But I was like that with the blue heron, though.
I can imagine you if the thing would have screeched. I mean, a raven will fly by without you noticing it and squawk. And you almost jump off the fucking porch.
I do.
Imagine a pterodactyl going over and making a loud screech.
That's because my senses are always waiting for a bear to come around the corner.
Well, this is true. Freaky, we do have a place up here, believe it or not, and this is going a little off topic, but in the North Pole, they actually have a town designated where you got Santa's house. All the shops are always decorated Christmasly. Yes, I wouldn't say they're elves or dwarfs or midgets, but he gets a lot of people to help act out through the year, and it's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. So, of course, he's from Lon over at Phantom and Monsters. If you guys haven't checked out that website, you really need to. He's got a lot of great stories over there. I received the following email from a woman in Ohio who had concerns in reference to a sighting her and her girlfriend had 6 months prior to the report. She stated that she substituted their names for a nominee. Megan, in parentheses, affirms that all the other details, the location, date, and description of the incident are factual.
Hurry back, Freaky.
She says, sir, my name is Megan. I'm forwarding a summary of experience that I and a friend had in August of 2010. My friend and associate Kira and I traveled from Columbus, Ohio to Ravenswood, West Virginia on business.
Hey, distracted.
Hey, easily distracted. How are you, hon? Welcome, welcome. While we were there, I wanted to make a side trip to Jalapolis, Ohio, in order to visit a relative that I had not seen for quite a while. After our meeting and presentation, we drove onto Ohio Route 7 and traveled south along the Ohio River towards Gallipus. We had a nice, though brief, visit with my relative, and around 6 p.m. we left their home and drove a few miles north on Route 7 to check into a hotel near the local airport. Around 7:30 p.m., we decided to get dinner and found a quiet restaurant so we could eat and work. After we finished, Kira needed to go to the store and pick up a few items that she forgot to pack, so we headed to a Walmart that was nearby. We were finishing shopping, and while we were walking to the car, when we noticed a woman running through the parking lot. When she reached her car, she looked back at the direction of the store, then hurriedly got in her car. I quickly looked in the same direction and saw what looked like a large bird flying above the roof of the store. It was difficult to see, but when it swooped downward, the parking light, the lights shined off of it. Parking lot lights shine off it. You know what I'm saying.
Light shined on it as it swooped down.
There you go. It looked like it was either oily or had shiny leather-like skin. Whatever it was, it had a huge, wide wingspan. I would guess it reached 8 to 10 foot across. It circled above the store for a minute and then just disappeared. We were both somewhat shocked at what we witnessed, but I figured that it was just a huge bird since it was dark. I figured we had misjudged what it really was. When we drove back to the hotel and decided to call it a night, we can get an early start in the morning. I got ready for bed, but I thought I'd watch some television first. So it was about 10 p.m. or so. I must have dozed off fairly quickly because the next thing I remember is a frantic knocking on my door. I stumbled out of bed and checked who it was, and it was Kira, and she was obviously upset. She rushed into my room and said, "It's here. What are you talking about?" I was a little perturbed that she woke me up. She said she was lying on the bed, reading, when she heard something in the hallway. She got out of bed, walked to the door, and listened to what she thought was scratching sounds. After a few minutes, the sound stopped, so she went back to bed. Not long after laying down, she heard more scratching sounds, but from outside her window. Again, she got up and peeking through the curtains. This time, something looked back at her. Our rooms were on a second floor in the back section of the hotel, and both looked out into a small parking lot and a large field beyond that. She could see what she described as a bald, ugly man with wings who was looking directly at her with large, bulging eyes that lit up bright red. It was here for only a few seconds, and then it spread its wings while running at the same time toward the end of the parking lot and lifted off the ground like a bird. "You're kidding, right?" I muttered to her. "Meg, I swear to God, that thing was out there and it knows it that I saw it, that we saw it." I knew the only way I was going to get some sleep is to allow Kara to stay in my room. So the next morning we woke up early, checked out, and drove back to Columbus. Kara didn't mention the incident from the previous night during the ride. In fact, she still has never said anything about this. We continue to be good friends and have a very good work relationship. But I get curious. I've never heard about the Mothman or any tales associated with it. I grew up in Texas and only lived in Ohio for a few years. I moved into my mom's house after she passed away, and her relatives lived throughout Ohio, but have never been I've never been told any of the stories. This is the reason I'm writing to you. We were near Point Pleasant, West Virginia, when we had this encounter. Do you think it's possible that that could have been the Mothman? I read some of your posts recently, and I'm starting to believe that Kara actually did see something supernatural. In light of the prophecies of danger, that is, the thing is supposed to warn people about, Kara has had some bad luck and tragedy since that day. Welcome back. Her husband suddenly left her. She had a fire in her house and was severely injured her leg in a fall. Could this be connected? I personally don't believe in any predictions, either good or bad, but I will admit these have been strange times since we witnessed whatever we saw.
You know, everything that happened, though, you can't say it was a bad thing. I mean, the timing of everything, it makes it seem bad. But maybe the timing of everything was actually perfect.
Right. but creepy.
Well,
I mean, you know.
Creepy coincidence?
And I can put myself in that person's shoes, like, after, okay, what is it that we saw, right? So going online, checking it out, reading the stories about Mothman, right? Maybe even watching the documentary or whatever. Right. And sitting there and seeing that it's supposed to, you know, it's a harbinger of bad news.
But yeah. Well, it is a harbinger of bad news.
Right. But what I'm saying is reading people's thoughts on that, right? So then you're sitting there wondering and going back and realizing all the stuff that her friend has gone through, going, oh shit, is this what this is? And writing, you know, taking the courage to write in and say, hey, could this, I don't know what we saw, but could this be what's happening? Do you know what I mean? What yeah, it takes to do all that.
I do understand what you're saying, but it you word anything wrong, it's going to be, you're making this thing out to be bad.
Right. No. I'm just saying, asking about your experience and what could have...
You're not making it, but whatever you are writing, whatever your experience was, if you word just one sentence the wrong way, then now it all becomes that he was evil. It was evil.
Well, they're not worried about that when they're writing a sentence. They're worried about trying to figure out what the hell this thing was. And is it coinciding with what the stories have been in the past?
But what I'm saying is...
I get what you're saying.
You don't know what the thing is. And you don't know if it was in a coalition or whatever to what was going on in your life at that time. Right?
Right.
So if you tell somebody your story, you know, oh, I seen this thing, and then all of a sudden, you know, I got divorced, you know, this happened, that happened, right after I seen this thing, correct?
Right.
So when you say it that way, it makes it sound like this thing is just evil. Like, all bad shit's going to happen when you see it. But you're not explaining anything that happened from the good side of any, like the divorce. Was that a good thing? Did it happen at a right time?
Right, I know.
This is all I'm saying. So what I'm saying is when somebody tries to explain a story, it usually only goes one way. You're not hearing, you hear the bad news of what happened, but you're not hearing the results after it's already done. I think you're not understanding me.
No, I get what you're saying, but if you're not used to, like, we can sit there and not debunk, but, like, say not everything's evil, right? But if you're not used to anything,
what's it's going to
hey, Anton, okay, well, have a good day at work, or try to. I'm sorry, see how I am?
Sorry, Anton, I'm home from work now. And like Andy just said, he said, I thought the Mothman was there to warn. And he was. But everybody thought he's the one that caused the bridge to collapse. He was there to warn them that something bad was going to happen.
Right. But the thing, but if you're not...
Harbinging can be good or bad, Freaky. It can go either way.
Yeah, it's a warning. But if you're not around the paranormal or don't know the stories or, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. And you're just freaked out by what you saw and then you're reading stories. Right?
So you get narrow-minded.
Sometimes, yeah.
That's kind of what I was getting at. You kind of just lock yourself in now to... judging your experience as somebody else's, and it's got to be the same because it was the same thing I seen.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Well, yeah, because you're trying to race and figure out what the hell you did see. You know what I mean?
True. And the best way to find out, though, is to find out on your own. Yes, listen to other stories, figure out what was going on. I agree with that. But don't try to base a theory, analogy, a hypothesis off,
gotta give the boy points.
Off all the other stories that you possibly heard or read.
Right, I get that, but would be in the straight the Why state of we, mind.
We're just going in a circle right now.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry, but that's what we were doing. We just started going in a circle.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on. It says Metzer Town in Long Swamp Township is East Berks County, Pennsylvania. Lon wrote, the witness wrote me after reading one of my previous reports about pterodactyls and flying cryptids, right? So it says, good morning. As I sit here reading this article, it amazes me that no one caught one of these things yet. I understand that it's something with a 25 to 30 foot wingspan flies past you. You're not going to grab your camera as a first instinct. My son is I saw this monster thing last summer in Mertztown, PA.
Mertz.
Mertz town.
Mertz.
Yeah. We're parked on the side of the road in a heavily wooded area when this thing casually glided up the road. It looked big enough to carry a full-grown man away with no effort. When the wings flew over the hood of my car, we instantly ducked down. This thing had a round human-sized head with no beak, hence the term man-bird, and a huge bat-like wings. Now, I would never tell this story if it wasn't for my 16-year-old sitting in the back seat who also witnessed it on that summer day. I'm a pretty capable guy. Not too many things could shake me up, but this thing scared the hell out of me. Here's what I saw. The body was 5 to 6 feet in length. Easy. Wingspan was 25 to 30 feet. Easy. No feathers, bat-like skin, jet black, and a 4 to 5 foot skinny rat or dragon-like tail that sticks straight out. This thing didn't fly like a bird. It glided about 10 feet off the ground in very slow speed. After about 75 feet of gliding, it took one huge flap of the wings, never changed elevation. Yeah, thank you, and glided up the road till it disappeared into the woods. I'm convinced this thing lives underground, probably near some sort of hot springs because it has no feathers. Well, that's my story. Feel free to reply with any questions. That 45-second event will forever be etched into memory.
So it's a flying bald bird.
Right. He goes on to say, we'll find it and catch it and would love to see it again up close.
Well, the weird thing is, though, is any bird I know that ain't got feathers can't fly.
Bats? It's not a bird, but it flies.
Exactly. A bat isn't a bird. Exactly what I just said.
And same with pterodactyls.
That's not a bird.
Right.
Birds without feathers can't fly. You ever see a featherless parrot fly?
Yeah, I haven't. But I know what you're saying. What's that got to do with anything?
Because they just said it was like a bird.
Well, that's what you're gonna say.
Oh, am I?
Oh my God, Eddie! If you ever see a pterodactyl, you are gonna be. Let me tell you, you're gonna be straight up logical about it.
If I ever see a fucking pterodactyl, I'm just shooting my fucking self. It don't matter.
Was one of the MIB in drag. Andy just wants me to get abducted by the MIB. I swear.
Me too. I mean, Andy, that's not good.
Wait, I 25 foot plus wingspan and goes into the woods. Sounds too
ungainly
to want to be around trees in large quantities. I don't know. Look how deer run through trees with freaking huge antlers.
But they're not 25 feet.
No, but it's the brush thicket in that.
I'll tell you what. I will be impressed if you ever show me a deer with a 25-foot fucking wing rack span.
Andy, can you read that?
Yes. Yes, you should.
No, but I mean, or they can look at how big deer are, right? At least our deer in New York, they're big. How big are they, honey? They're so big. No.
An average buck up in the area from where Missy was born in that, and from where I used to hunt, an average buck can go at about 360, 380. They can get.
And these are whitetails.
Yes. And you're talking the biggest buck that we know of that we spotted is 14 points, which is, he's got a rack about this big. Let me get my hands right. And it goes up and out. But they can run through brush that will take you 10 minutes to get through.
Yeah.
Holding your rifle and maneuvering through, and he's already gone. So, I get it, but big old whitetail bag.
Or they can, they're stealthy, too. I mean, shit. Well, we thought we saw two deer in the freaking, we saw two deer in the thicket. So he whips, what was
well,
a rock?
I told you. I said, watch this. I'm going to get them two deer to run.
Yeah.
And I took this beer bottle and I swung it all the way down to where they were. Yeah, there was two deer, okay?
Yeah, there was like 14.
You want to guess again?
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm trying to give him a low ball, you know.
There's like 30 or 40 of them all of a sudden just popped up and took off.
And thank God they were running away from us. Because we would have been
nowhere to hide.
Yeah, we would have been trampled.
We had
in
no
a heartbeat.
Place to hide.
That, I mean, don't.
You know what, Ricky, and I agree, and I understand that. But you also have to remember, every time... a buck doesn't get shot every year that the horns grow in this and that. I don't care how much practice you have. Last year, you only had 6 horns. This year, you got fucking 7, 8 points. And so everything, all the dynamics and everything change of entry point and exit point. It's not muscle memory from that point on. So if this thing can fly through fucking trees with a 25-foot wingspan, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like I said, and that's the way I'm looking at it. Deer can run through these. Obviously, they were born with these wings, so they know how to freaking maneuver. That's just my point. Do you know what I mean?
I totally get your point. I mean, seeing deer be able to do it is amazing. And they just disappear.
And like no sound. I mean, sometimes.
Most of the time, you don't hear anything.
Yeah.
Hey, sweetly morbid bear.
Hello. Welcome.
But yeah, even a 25-foot wingspan, though, is just like going into a forest like that.
Take care, Skook. Be safe.
Have a good one, Skooks. That's, wow. I'm like flabbergasted, you know. All right, next one.
All right, on to the next. So it says, in December 2011, I received an email from a woman who referred to as EW from North Georgia, who thought she encountered a Mothman. After many months of the correspondence, the witness has agreed to allow them to post the event. So she says, hello. I'm hoping you can shed some light on the incidents I had a few years ago. I was 25 at the time and was driving to my friend's house. It was quiet, about 11:30 p.m. As I drove south an old country road off of a redacted highway near... Oh, it's redacted. Never mind. Duh. Off of a highway near in North Georgia, very few people pass this way because it leads to nothing but a small group of houses. I turned the radio on and nothing came on. I figured it was blown fuse, but then I started to hear weird scratching sounds coming through the speakers. It sounded like a distant voice, but I couldn't understand what it was saying. Suddenly, something in front of the car and hit the windshield with enough size and force that it totally mangled the grill and hood. I immediately stopped the car. I heard what sounded like wings flapping in the roof.
But you just said it hit the windshield.
Hit the windshield with enough size and force that it totally mangled the grill and hood.
How did it mangle the grill and hood if it hit the windshield?
That obviously, thing? It's a big thing.
Okay, you understand what I'm asking. Right. You know where the grill is. You know where the hood is. You know where the windshield is.
Right.
If it hit the fucking windshield, I want to know how it mangled the grill and the hood. Okay.
I heard what sounded like wings flap on the roof, but then something rolled down the back window into the trunk, then eventually on the road. I thought I killed whatever it was. A woman in a truck had pulled up from behind and said she saw the thing hit the road. She said that its eyes were glaring bright red. As we looked more closely at this thing, it resembled a man with a large bat-like wings. The woman walked back to her truck and pulled a shotgun from the back and pointed it to this bat-like creature. It was starting to move and we backed off. Yeah, I would have too. It slowly stood up on two large raptor-like claws. It turned and stared directly at us with those terrible bright red eyes. The woman pumped the shotgun and it slowly levitated off the ground with wings spread until it was about 10 foot up. And then instantly it let out a deafening screech. And just disappeared with a large swoosh.
Now you say this thing just levitated.
No, I think it was flapping.
Okay.
But I think, at least that's what's brilliant in my brain. The woman and I just looked at each other. The thing had a body of a well-built man. It had no feathers, but charcoal gray skin.
Don't worry, Andy, that ain't us.
That...
You said well-built man, so.
But charcoal gray skin like that of a bat with some hair on the shoulders and around the eyes and legs. Then it spread its wings. It had a span of 12 foot or more. I estimate it was about 8 foot tall. It had no head, however, just the eyes embedded in the shoulders that had, like, brows.
I bet you none of these people were... ever in archaeology, building fucking shit, or whatever the fuck is construction period. I'm guessing it was 8 foot.
Well, you know me, how I am.
Yeah, I know.
I always ask you.
I got away with never mind.
I didn't notice a mouth or a nose. There's no way I was going to report this, and the lady next to me totally agreed. We both drove off. I was so shook up, I stayed the night. The next morning, I went outside to inspect the car. There was a huge crack on the windshield, and the grill was mangled beyond repair. The hood also had a deep 25-inch dent. I started to walk back to the house when I noticed something lying in the grass beside the garage. It was CW's... golden retriever lying dead from massive lacerations up and down its back. I just knew that thing did it. That was 3 years ago, and I constantly dream of this creature. I was told by a friend that I had encountered a Mothman. It looked more like a Batman, to be honest. I decided to look up a few sightings by others and saw your name and blog. Many of the images on Google were very similar to what I saw. I wrote to someone else about a year ago, but they never got back to me. So, what do you think? I mean, I have heard of Mothman having, like, no head and the eyes down and the shoulders, like, where the brows would be. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Kind of, yeah. All right, but here's where I kind of get lost. All right, so I'm taking it, if the grill was that bad, it actually hit the grill first.
Right, and probably
up over the hood.
Yeah.
Then hit the windshield and flew off the back.
Right.
How'd the dog get all fucked up? If the dog was in the fucking car.
No, the dog wasn't in the car. It did. What she's inclining is that the thing followed her to where she was staying.
So he thought, tick for tack, you want to hit me, I'm going to kill your dog.
Maybe. I don't know.
Freaky Geek, please say hi to Sweetly Morbid Bear. Apparently they know you. She found it funny that she ran into you here, and she sent you kisses. Please acknowledge her. She's crying now.
Well, maybe...
Anyway. Been around for years and ain't learned to recognize the headlights of a 2-ton truck. Things like that don't tend to live long. Well, yeah, you got a point. I mean, how and why would that... Why would it be right there for the car to hit it and stop? Was something up ahead that he slowed the car down for?
That could be.
There you go, Freaky. Oh, he was crying because of the dog. But maybe that was the case. Maybe he purposely got hit.
To save them from something.
To stop her.
Could be.
Because something was happening down the road. But if that was the case, don't you think that would have been included in the story as well? Like, after I hit this thing, whatever it was, a little ways down the road, this happened, and just because I hit it, it slowed me down, stopped me enough, I wasn't involved.
Right. Or maybe she was going to, maybe another accident didn't happen because of the fact that that happened.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
She was fixing to hit a crossroad.
Right.
And he stopped her because he knew if she hit that crossroad when she was going to, she could either have been T-boned or T-boned somebody else. Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading chat. What'd you say? I'm sorry.
Wow.
Oh, look, a squirrel.
Yeah,
hey, Melanie.
No, what I said is maybe he stopped her from hitting the crossroad at just the right time where she would have been T-boned.
Right.
Or she would have T-boned somebody else.
Right, right.
But why would it follow her to her house and kill the dog?
Right, Bear. Divine intervention, yeah. You never know.
Killing the dog don't make no goddamn sense.
Well, that's true. That's true. Maybe it was just pissed at it.
Hi, Melanie.
It's like, damn, you got a big car. I don't know.
Yeah, but why take it out on the dog?
I don't know. That's a good question.
So, yeah, that just, I can kind of get the gist of the story because I know Moffat. Hey, Black Dragon.
Hey, Black Dragon, how are you?
I know Mothman is a harbinger and it's not bad. He's always there to warn. So, yeah, you hit him, her, whatever the hell it is.
Right.
Put themselves in a way to stop you and slow you down to save you, but you go and kill their dog. That just don't make sense.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't know. Maybe it just got hungry. I mean, it got hit by a car. It was hungry.
He didn't eat the fucking thing. He just clawed it to death.
Well, that's true.
Oh, wow. Andy, are you keeping score? Two times in this story, she says that I'm right. Two times. Y'all keep score of this now.
All right, guys, you ready? A Florida witness observes a large group of flying dragons.
You know, while Heather says it wasn't, didn't kill the dog, someone else did, but they said that they found it all dug, the back all dug up from claw marks. So I'm guessing that thing killed it. Like I'm trying to kill my mouse.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Shut up.
You all right over there?
No, I need fucking help.
Oh, did you? I didn't know you. I'm sorry.
No, I'm...
We have spillage. It was mad at the dog. It could be. I mean, he might be coming to check up on them. Well, that happened a long time ago, Nicole. Eddie losing his marbles. You know, he could have been, and the dog was like barking at it, of course, as the dog was supposed to, you know.
Maybe
what I mean?
The dog could have spooked it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he just didn't know what to do and just fucking protected itself.
Yeah. Hey, gamer girl, how are you, hon? Sorry, I'm at work right now, but I'm sitting and waiting for the kids. No problem.
Okay.
No problem. Yeah, dogs are protectors. Melanie says, I have 4 iguanas living at my new Florida house, and they look like freaking dragons. I know they do. They're really cool creatures, man. All right, so this person said, I saw something. Amazing flying beings. It happened about 60 years ago when I was staying with some friends in a small town about 30 miles north of Orlando, Florida. It was in July, and every night I'd go outside to check out the night sky. It was about 9 p.m., and I had gone out to do my nightly thing, when then I looked up at the moon, which was almost directly overhead. I actually looked away to rub my eyes because I couldn't believe what I saw. But when I looked back, it was still there and no illusion. There, flying around the moon in a clockwise direction, from my point of view, were these enormous beings, which looked like flying dragons. By the very slow swoop of their bat-like wings, I could tell that they were truly huge. There were dozens of them, but when I looked up higher, there were tiers and tiers of them circling in the same direction. And there must have been over 100 of them. They were all black, being silhouetted by the moon above them, so I could see no color or details. They were reptilians. I estimate the lowest ones were about 500 feet, but it's hard to know for sure. It was a really frightening sight, and I wondered if they could see me standing down there in the dark driveway. Not a very comforting thought. I wanted to run and get my friends to witness what I was seeing, but I was afraid of what I might miss. Just then, I noticed an enormous craft slowly approaching from the right of where the beings were flying. It was around a dozen times the width of the moon and blacker than black. And it was the classic, like, saucer shape. But there was no dome or any lights or windows. But I noticed something I never heard mentioned before. That there was this eerie, black, wispy, curling mist all along the edge of the ship, which I thought might be some sort of cloaking device. The ship was totally silent as it slowly approached where the creatures flew, never speeding up or slowing down or stopping. Finally, it engulfed the entire area where the dragons flew, and when it inched away, the night sky was again empty. Save for the cold stars and the gibbous moon. I directly went inside and told my friends what I had just seen. Being the skeptics they are, they said I'd probably only seen bats or birds. But I know what I witnessed. It was something I'd never ever seen before, and I hope I never see again. I do have an idea of what happened, but only a guess. You know how people are out boating, they'll sometimes jump into the water for a refreshing swim? Well, maybe those reptilians left their craft to stretch those terrible wings and were just circling there, waiting for their ship to catch up with them, to get them back on board. That's only a guess, and who knows what evil mischief they had been up to. For days and days after that experience, I worried they might return to do some harm to me for spying on them. But thankfully, if they saw me, I wasn't considered a threat. This is a true experience and one that is enough to last a lifetime. KL. So what do you guys think?
I missed the beginning of that, so it's going to be hard for me to, like, respond on it.
Right.
But real quick, number one, Freaky and Andy, Komodo is not a lizard. It is actually classified as a dragon. That's hence the name Komodo dragon. And number two, I bet you nobody in the room can tell me the most poisonous spider in the world. And they're actually here in the United States. Well, I'm sure they're around the world.
What's that got to do with dragons?
Because he brought up Komodo dragon, and she said, Nicole said something about being poisonous, and her Freaky did not. A referee friend recently told her, I know it's weird, but really I'm seeing a baby dragon outside of her home. She about, pooped her, pop.
No, pooped. She just about shit.
Pooped her young.
No, child. Her young child kept putting food out there and says it's for the dragon.
Well, that one already sees its spirit animal.
Yeah, definitely.
There's nothing wrong with that. Nope, it's not the Black Widow. You all will be amazed at what the most poisonous spider in the world is. Yes, the bite of a Komodo dragon, it has poison to slow down its prey. Yes, it won't kill you. Their bite will kill you. The most poisonous spider is a daddy longlegger. And the only reason they can't do anything, they can't open their mouth wide enough to bite you.
Black dragon, it might be. They might be putting food out for you.
I was thinking the bite. No, it's actually the daddy longlegger.
But that's really cool, Bear, that you were reading and picked up on that dragon, and then
she's already seeing her protection.
The young child, you know. And that's why I say, even though, like, I hate, you know, obviously when I'm doing my readings, I don't like giving negativity. But, you know, it's weird how you can pick up on things. And, you know, it's kind of like when we were talking about the other day when, you know, you hold the object and you, the hell's it called? Now I can't even think of what the hell it's called. You know, where you hold the objects and get
premonitions.
Yeah, or whatnot off of them. That's why they say when you first start out doing it, say everything that comes to your mind, because something might not, you know, might sound weird to you, but the person that had owned that or owns that, it might be, you know, something to them.
Well, that's cool. She said they tripped her out. She also has trolls and little people. That's pretty normal if she's a healer.
Yeah.
If she is actually putting food out, then believe her, trust in her, because she's trusting in herself.
Oh, definitely. Andy, either way, all spiders must burn. That's just... All right, here's a couple stories, guys, to get the rest of the show going. All right.
I think my chair is falling apart.
Looking for an explanation of a creature that I saw in Kansas last summer. It still bothers me. So I still look for the explanation. Here's what happened. I was walking my dogs with my aunt, probably around 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. It was clear and a quiet night with lots of stars. As we were walking to the camper, something with an 8 to 10 feet wingspan, thin, almost see-through wings, gliding over the top of the power lines and over our heads. It was dark beyond the streetlight, and I could not see as it glided over. It did not move. It did not move its wings or make any noise when I saw it. The dogs were freaked out just as much as we were. Following the sighting of this creature, the entire lot was full of feathers and bunny fur. Weird. This town is very isolated and goes to sleep by 9 p.m. I don't live here, but my parents do.
Yes, Freaky. Sorry, all stories have wings today. Today's sponsor is Kotex.
Will you stop? They've been on the lookout ever since, but never outside after dark. I feel like it's nocturnal, and it may be only around when it's warm or the food is plentiful. I did see something like this when I was a kid, too, but it's been a long minute, and I tried to write it off as an unexplained event in my life. There's plenty of those events, gifts from growing up out here. Anyway, I felt like if I told too many people out here, they would grab their guns and find it. I don't want that. I just want to know what the fuck it is.
Wow. They were fucking like...
Cool that there is some affirmation here. I'm glad to know we're not the only ones to see it.
Black Dragon says, everything has energy. We also leave traces of our own energy on objects.
Yep.
So we will... I'm not going to comment on that, Black Dragon, because that's usually on a different episode of Shadows. I've got my own theory about the energy aspect of what you're saying. But this isn't the episode we talk about it. So, because I could go on for the rest of your show with this.
That's true.
So I won't go there, but I would love for you to be in the show during that segment. And I would love to talk to you about that.
Maybe dust, flying dust bunnies. Can you? We have that. It's called summer snow. I've never been one to have mess with have allergies or anything like that. But this stuff not only does it bug people's allergies, which it still don't bug mine, but you sit there and breathe in and you'll get one. It's like whole dandelions.
Hold. You just suck that fucking thing right.
Like, you don't want to breathe while they're around.
You're going to take a hit of a cigarette, and you know, you're at a good party, you're getting ready to put the cigarette in your mouth, and it's like...
That is true, Bear. Infectious being as we are, we can either be the elixir or the poison.
She is talking on an emotional level. She's not...
I know.
Okay, she is right.
That's what I said.
I know you said... you know, I threw a beer box at you yesterday. Today might be a full
I got
beer
another box. Cat ear. Did you even pick up my other cat ear?
Where the hell was it? Why would I pick up your cat ears?
Oh, no, now I got one cat ear.
Hurry back, Nicole.
Anyway.
Wait a minute, where the fuck did they come from?
Raina, I told you that yesterday.
Well, I'm trying to. What's in the package on top of the refrigerator?
That's Danielle's.
Oh, yeah. You can take that with you to New York.
Yes. But anyway, I was going to say something and I totally forgot about it now.
Welcome to Shadows of the Moon.
Yeah. All right. Last story, guys. Last story. This is about a huge translucent manta ray shaped entity observed over Burnside, Kentucky. Now, we've talked about these before. Matter of fact, we were talking about it the other day with Melanie.
Can I interrupt just real quick?
Oh, no. Yes.
Black Dragon, we are on our last story. So once we complete this story, if you just want to hang out for a second before we say our final goodbyes, I'll give you my thoughts on the energy aspect. Okay. A dead cat is a mic cover.
Oh my god, freaky geek.
Wait a minute. Speaking of which, where the hell is my mic cover? Oh, look. On my dead cat.
Excuse me. Sorry, guys.
It goes on my microphone. Got it. All right.
Lord have mercy. Okay, so we were just talking about, like, you know, how we've seen the big, well, I haven't, but we've talked about stories about seeing the big jellyfish in the sky and different things. This was a huge manta ray. So it says, my daughter called me around 1:20 a.m. to inform me that she was in ER with kidney stone. She requested that I come to the hospital to take her home as she had finally passed the stone. But had been given pain medication and was obviously advised not to drive.
Well, I hope she took pain medication.
I picked her up at the hospital and took her home. She assured me that she'd be fine and just wanted to sleep as she needed to go to work the next morning. I drove the 6 to 7 mile home and pulled into my driveway and got on my car. It was about 3 a.m., and I looked up at all the stars in the sky, noting their beauty, when suddenly above me, I heard a swish. Directly above me, about 50 to 100 feet off the ground, I looked up to see something that was both beautiful and terrifying at the same time.
Welcome back, Nicole.
Welcome back, Nicole. There was a huge stingray-shaped entity slowly pulsating as it flew above me. It was as large as my house, which is 2,500 square foot. I noted that I could see the stars through its body. Although its outline was clearly visible, it did not fly as like birds fly, but rather seemed to undulate its body along in perfect synchronized manner. My house sits about 150 feet from my neighbor's, and the shape covered the space between our houses, so it was quite wide. Excuse me.
COVID.
Yeah. As it inundated, I could see that hanging down from its back was something that looked like a tail or legs held together. I couldn't be sure as it continued to move as I watched it transfixed. It made no sound except that initial swish when I looked up, and I think it wanted me to see it. I felt that as I watched it until it disappeared across a farm field in the back of my neighbor's home. There was no odor or light associated with my sighting except the stars. At no time did I feel that it intended to harm me, but even after it disappeared from sight, I felt frozen in amazement. I could not sleep after I went to bed, and now, even now, I gaze up into the sky looking for it. Has anybody else reported this entity?
So they just seen a ship shaped like a jellyfish?
No, it was a manta, a stingray.
Oh, okay.
A manta ray.
Well, I remember in the beginning you were talking about a jellyfish.
Yeah, that we've talked about that, seeing it in the atmosphere and stuff like that.
That was yesterday's show, wasn't it? Wasn't there something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's interesting because they do say that things live in our atmosphere.
Do you think it could be the spirit of a dead manta ray?
I believe there's things actually living in our atmosphere that are we can't see. And I think this one showed it to her.
Right. Okay. And you know how I am with the paranormal. You said it showed itself.
Mm-hmm.
You will only see a ghost if a ghost wants you to see it.
Right.
And that's how I feel. So maybe at this point in time, they wanted this person to be like, hey, we're here. We're not here to harm you.
But right.
This is what you will see.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And like I said, you know how you guys know my, like most of you know my feeling on things. Sometimes, I think a lot of times with us, you know, I feel that we make our own world. If we believe in certain things, they'll be there in our life showing, you know, synchronicity. And, you know, I really feel that even when you're not thinking about things, you're thinking about things, right? And being that late at night, she could have been just, I mean, not thinking about manta rays or stingrays, you know what I mean? But just thinking about, like, is something watching me? You know, obviously she admires the stars and looks up to the stars, which I do that as well every time I'm outside.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
But see, you got me to that point.
Right.
Where I look up. I'm waiting to see the unexpected.
See, but I think because my take on that is you have to be, like, I might say that I'm ready to see a UFO, but inside I might not be.
I didn't say that.
Oh.
All I'm saying is I'm waiting to see the unexpected.
Right.
I'm not expecting it to happen. But when it does, yeah, I'm going to probably shit myself and run like a little schoolgirl and be like, what the fuck was that?
Like me running from the sea lion.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of things happen when we aren't expecting it. Do you know
exactly.
what I mean? When we're having a grand old time and then something happens, it's like, oh, shit, you know?
Because now it's got your full attention.
Right. See, like, even though when I sit outside at night, you know, by myself, waiting for something to happen, waiting for a bear, is it maybe, you know what I mean?
That ain't fun, people. I'm going to tell you that.
No, it's not. It's not. And listening to every noise that comes around me. Like, you're actually, when you're outside having a cigarette by yourself here and you make yourself paranoid of bears, not of paranormal UFOs or cryptids, just of bears.
I mean, it can get crazy around here with sounds.
But I mean, that one night that I swear to God, there was, you know,
that dog.
Well, no, the Amazon people in the woods protecting something bigger.
Think about the dog you thought you seen run into the woods.
Oh, yeah, when I thought it was a dog run in the woods, and it wasn't. It was a bear.
Yep.
You know, it was a baby bear, but, well, not a baby bear, but he was away from his mother.
Yeah, and when cubs are here and they're about a year old, when they away from mama, always keep your eyes open. Because mama's somewhere close.
Right. You never know. No, see, a lot of things contact me through my dreams. I have a lot of weird dreams, very lucid dreams. I'm more and more lucid as the years go on. But, yeah. So
shadows can dream almost reality.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way.
Yeah. I'm recognizing it more as the years go on.
Sea lions are scary and loud. I can't imagine a bear.
No, I'm scared. Sea lions are very freaking scary when they pop up right next to you.
When you have a full-grown male sea lion pop up out of the water at night with just dock lights on, okay, 5 feet from you.
You know it. You know it.
Missy covered 175 yards from where we were at. Fishing to where the car was. Now, mind you, it's all uphill, too.
I was gone.
She had her fishing pole. She never dropped that fucking thing.
Hey, Chris. Age of Darkness, how are
What's
you?
Up, Chris?
How you doing?
But she never dropped that thing. And then as I'm reeling in my line, she yells, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting my goddamn mover back. So I had to pick up the tackle box, the chair, everything else. And here I go walking up the fucking to where she was. If this fucking thing would have got on the dock where I was screwed.
Yep, pretty much.
I had no way out.
Because we know Missy and flight. I'm flighting.
She's gone.
I'm gone.
Let's just put it this way. Barry Sanders couldn't have caught her.
Right.
Barry Sanders, he was fast. He didn't ever caught her.
Just put a sea lion next to me, man. Hell yeah, I did run. Hells yeah.
Melanie, I didn't even know she was gone.
And I was
she
stealthy.
Hollered, what are you doing? I was like, holy shit. Okay.
And he just launched you a replacement for the Exxon Valdez that's making its way to you as we speak. Oh, Lord. Great. Great, Andy. Thanks. All right, guys. Well, that's come to the end of the show.
And now, real quick, I just want to say to Black Dragon, I believe from the time that we are designed, created, conceived, born, whatever you want to call it, we are nothing but matter and energy. And as we live our life, it's using that matter and energy. And when we die, we don't die. Our skeleton does, because we are matter and energy, and they never deplete. They never go anywhere. And that's why I believe that certain people, spirits, voices can be heard stronger than others. So that's my thought on being energy. But we're not only energy, we're made of matter. Because it takes matter to hold things together. It takes energy to run.
We see you, Patrick. Thank you so much for hanging out.
Absolutely, Patrick.
Yes, you have to chat up the hype over on DLive, guys.
Oh, he said Shadow beat me to it yesterday.
Yeah, I did. All right, guys, with that being said, let me go ahead and get the credits a-rolling.
And this is where I get to tell you all. Ladies, big warm hug. Guys, strong fist bump. Stay strong. Stay positive. We'll get through this.
I want to say, before I say anything, let me go ahead. I'm broke, guys, so I put 180 in the chest today. I clicked the button, so... You got 20 seconds. Get over to DLive and hit that button. Thank you guys all so much for watching and taking the time out, giving us time, your valuable time watching us. Thank you to all the viewers and listeners that have come in and watched today and liked, shared out the video. You guys are amazing. Thank you to all my new followers for coming in, and Eddie's new followers. Hope you had a great time here. My podcast peeps, YouTube, DLive, Twitch, you guys are all so awesome. And we wouldn't be us if there wasn't you. So thank you.
Black Dragon, come Saturday, look up Just Chaos. That'll be my channel, and we can talk more. And my co-host, right there, Andy K, is the master of mayhem. Come visit us. You'll find out why.
That's true. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. All right, with that being said, let's go ahead and go back to the cam. Let's get me off of full screen, because wow.
Oh, darkness, we know you're into a lot of the UFO and the UAP stuff.
Hell yeah. That's Wednesdays, and man. That's Wednesdays.
We get into here. Stuff. Again, for those of you that don't know, some of the conversations that me and Shadows have after the show ends, you people would be floored. But yet, put us in front of a camera and it's like, what were we talking about?
Melanie said at the doctor's yesterday, they asked why I was giggling. I said it was the show. That's about right. All right. Nicole got 79.8 Lemons. Patrick got 46.2. Freaky Geek got 33.7. Melanie got 27 Lemons.
Did you see Andy says, I hope you're over 18, Black Dragon?
Yeah. All right, guys. Tomorrow is Freaky News Friday, your weird and wacky news of the week. If you are new here, mind the schedule. Mondays we do Paranormal Talk. Tuesday we had Tarot Tuesday this week, so next week is just gibber jabber. Wednesdays is cryptid, or no, it's not. I lied. Wednesdays is UFO and controversies, you know, conspiracies. Theories and all that good stuff. Thursdays is Legends and Lord. And like I said, Friday, tomorrow is Weird and Wacky News of the Week.
Heather says I got better luck next time.
Oh, you didn't get any Heathers? Oh my God.
Lemons?
I need to freaking go to sleep. You didn't get any Lemons? What's up?
No, you didn't call her name.
I didn't, did I?
No.
What the hell's up with that?
Dragon says, sorry, I've never made it past 18 in over 43 years.
Love it. Thank you guys for coming in and hanging out with us. We appreciate it so much.
Absolutely. 100%. You guys are amazing.
Definitely. And with that being said, we will see you tomorrow, guys. All right?
Tomorrow might be a very long day for me, so I don't know yet.
Well, you'll see me tomorrow.
Exactly.
All right, guys.
I might make an entrance. I don't know.
All right. Take care. Be safe. And, you know, we love you guys. Mm-hmm.